greetings in Jesus' name. I too welcome each one here this morning. As I was pondering about sharing here this morning, I've been in my mind going back over some of the things that I shared the last time I was up here, in just thinking about our responsibility and what we're here for in doing, showing Jesus to the people round about us. And I was blessed, encouraged by the things that were shared here this morning as well. And I'd made a statement towards the end of my last message there to show and tell. Basically, you know, we tell, our life tells people about Jesus. And I think that is a big way that we get people's attention. And we also, as was mentioned this morning, we spend time teaching people. We teach each other. We remind each other of scripture verses and basically encourage and admonish. And it's a responsibility that we have. But I kept going back to, you know, thinking about my life and, you know, how does my life show and tell about Jesus. In so often I see in myself a desire to fulfill, a desire to do that, and then yet in my heart I see it's like, wow, you know, that, what happened there? How did that come out that way? And as I ponder that, I realize that, you know, there's something inside of us that makes us quickly forget about, if we're not trained, makes us forget about our purpose and our desire. And there's an emotional side of us that our thought process and our emotions, that we have good intentions, but when life has certain trigger points, we find ourselves, at least for myself, sometimes forgetting and find myself responding in ways that it's like, oh, why did I do that? And, you know, I'm as I was thinking about that, and, you know, we see people that we've talked, probably all talked to people that have great regrets in their life. And, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, someone that maybe killed someone and or did something like that. And it's like, I would hope that most of those people, looking back, it's like they have regret. It's like they don't know how they did that, but they lost control of their, you know, there was a trigger point in their life, and somehow they let that get in the way and found themselves doing and saying things that they didn't mean to do. So with those thoughts, maybe we can just pause and have prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do pause before you here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have for being here. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we can be here, and Lord, we desire to look into your word. And I just pray this morning that you would again this morning that you would minister to each one of us. I just pray, Lord, that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. And Lord, I pray this morning also for those that are not here this morning, that are home for different reasons. Lord, we just commit them to you. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would protect them, Lord. Lord, we pray this morning that you would be with the Weaver family. We pray for Zach, those that are on gone and doing mission work away from home. Lord, we just commit them to you. We just pray that they could be blessed and that they could be a blessing to the people that are around them. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, the thought that I'd like to leave with us is dealing with our emotions, or having emotional freedom in it's things that we face every day, and we all deal with them or we don't. And so we our thoughts and our feelings, they are powerful. And if we allow them to, they will control our lives. And I just want us to also be reminded that, you know, God gave us emotions, and they are a good thing if they are refined in Jesus. And just, you know, one thought that I had as I was coming into this, thinking about, you know, maybe myself. And, you know, you find yourself in a restaurant going out to eat, and you sit down, and they happen to be busy, and you wait, and finally, you know, after a long time, you're served. And it's like, well, yeah, that was understandable, and you accept that. But maybe on another occasion, you know, you're doing the same thing, and you see that someone else came in and just sat down, and they just like zeroed in on them, and it's like took care of them right away. And on our part, there was no difference. They served me the same way as they did the time before, but our emotions gets like, that's not fair. You know, we start thinking about ourselves, or I start thinking about myself, and all of a sudden, I'm not thankful. I'm not thankful for the things that were served, because I feel like somehow somebody else got more attention than myself. So we see there, you know, how it is important to take, you know, step in and allow our emotions to take control. When we say the heart is a way of describing the, when we think about the heart, we think about our inner man, and we see what's going on in there. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, that verse reminds us of, you know, who we are, who our heart is. The heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. We see here this verse just reminds us of who we are And we see also here that God tries us and wants to bring us to Himself. Let's not gauge ourselves by what we see around us, by the people that we see around us, but rather let's make sure that we gauge ourselves by what God wants from us. As we, if we spend time looking around ourselves in this world, you know, it would appear that emotional immaturity, you know, it feels like that's sort of normal. You know, it's we just let that, you know, we don't spend a lot of time exercising those, or it seems like often that's the case. And so let's not be like that. Let's rather, you know, be diligent and exercise these areas in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, "And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." You know, not just if we're a people of only of knowledge. You know, we know the right things to do, but we need to be filled with the fullness of God and allow him to guide us. Some examples that I'd like to look at in Scripture, and if we turn to Luke chapter 9, it's just one example we see of the disciples and their emotions there. We go to Luke 9, verse 54 here. Maybe back up and start in verse 51 here. Jesus was here. "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should receive up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem." Obviously, Jesus wasn't accepted here. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. We see here, you know, the feelings that they had here, that Jesus expressed his disappointment, you know, "This is not what we're about." But, you know, these are things that in real life that we have to deal with. We will find ourselves in places where, like Jesus did here, where we have something to say or we have something to offer, and the people will reject us. They will not accept what we're bringing. And so we will likely find ourselves having to make some of these same choices in different areas in our lives. You know, we can choose to have the heart that Jesus had here and just say, you know, in our hearts that we're not here to destroy men's lives, but rather to show them a different way, to show them Jesus. So, you know, we we do well to just analyze our hearts. You know, how do we find ourselves responding in those situations? Do we have a heart of disappointment, a heart of love towards them, or do we breathe? It's like, well, you know, they're going to have to give an account and wish them hardship for that. In Genesis chapter 42, actually in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, to verse 20. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, if we allow our emotions to rejoice because of the things that we're accomplishing, of the way that God is working in and through me, if that is the driving factor, we are sure to, at some point in time, to fall, to, you know, it's not going to hold us up. But if we remember in verse 20 there, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. If that is the driving factor, if that is, you know, in the bottom of our heart, in we will always find a reason to rejoice if we have our names written in the book of life. And he's saying that that needs to be in the forefront of our thoughts. In Genesis chapter 42, the account of Joseph here and his brothers in, maybe I'll just jump in verse 18 and just read a few verses here just to remind us of what's going on here. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. And if you be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore, is this distress come upon us? We see here that Joseph's brothers here, they had something in their life. There was fear and guilt. You know, Joseph didn't bring this sin up to them. He didn't... His brothers at this point didn't even know who they were talking to, but they were guilty and they were fearful. And as soon as, you know, things started getting difficult, they were reminded of these things, and they mentioned these things to each other. It's like, you know, their past came in the forefront of their lives, and they were feeling God's judgment. And so we see here in this account that they were troubled by these things. In Genesis chapter 45, verse 3, we see here as Joseph revealed who he was, that his brothers were troubled it at being in his presence here. You know, they were still struggling. And they only found freedom, I believe, later on in the chapter as they finally came to terms with the things that they had dealt with, the things that they had done, and they came back to their father and they told him the truth. They shared with him how Joseph indeed was alive and was well. And I am sure that as they brought those things out, that they probably also shared the things that, you know, what really happened back there. And so they finally found freedom, I believe, there. And so, you know, as I consider that account there, in thinking about life and thinking about, you know, wanting to be that person that we can show and tell, you know, that our lives as life unfolds before us, that we deal with those things in our lives that have been trigger points, that, you know, in this case here, you know, all of a sudden they were reminded of those things in the past, and they knew exactly what they were, and they were continuing to try to hide those things. And they only found true freedom as they revealed those things and dealt with them. We see here in this example how fear and guilt, how it deals, you know, the effects of it. It was paralyzing to them. And I'm sure that in this state, you know, they had a hard time resting and trusting in God because they knew that they weren't being real. So God wants us to have faith. He doesn't want us to be gripped by life, by worry and dread, or the fear of being found out. You know, God wants us to have freedom in these things. So, it is important that we deal with things in our lives, and dealing with them, I think of, you know, bringing them to Jesus and giving them to the Lord and having that clean slate. And like Joseph's brothers there, you know, it wasn't a question. It's like, well, is it this or is it that? They knew that it was a particular thing in their life that they needed to deal with. And so it is important for us to deal with those things. And in some cases, maybe, you know, it means us letting go of other people's issues, other people's sins, and not, you know, like the disciples there with Jesus there, you know, they wanted to bring judgment upon them because of what they had done. And we know where that heart, if we have that heart, where that will take us. You know, it will lead us into bondage. And so at times we also have to give those things to the Lord and ask Him to intervene and to help them. And, you know, I find for myself that when I pray for someone, it probably helps me as much as it does those. And you know, it sets us free when we bring those things to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's a lot in that verse, and I believe that verse here is talking to every one of us here. You know, we all have a responsibility here. And what happens if we don't exercise ourselves in these things? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Taking every thought captive. These are steps, you know, if we want freedom, we must exercise ourselves in doing these things. If we want to have, you know, if we want to be released from, you know, trigger points in our lives, you know, we need to exercise ourselves. You know, we see how Jesus, how he lived a perfect life, and people, you know, did this and did that, and he just walked through those things. And if we want to experience, you know, that life that tells about Jesus, we need to work these things out in our minds and exercise ourselves, you know, as soon as life gets difficult, that we can remember that, you know, we need to keep our thoughts towards the Lord and allow him to be in control. Things that we must do: accept responsibility for my thoughts. You know, if we want to apply verse 5 here, I have to accept responsibility for my thoughts. We have the ability through Jesus to exercise control over our thoughts and the feelings that we have. You know, we can turn our hearts towards the Lord. We remember that our emotions, you know, they are powerful. They will influence our lives. So we want to take stock of these things and allow God to have his way. You know, number 2, our mind, not just our behavior, not just our outward actions need to change, but if we want true change in our lives, we need to allow our mind, our thoughts, to be purified. God wants our thoughts. He wants our deeds. He wants those to be. He wants those to be changed. You know, in Romans chapter 12, it talks about these things. Verse 2 there, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, if we if we want to be transformed, the recipe that I see here is, you know, we need to allow God to renew our mind. And tells us here that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's where it's going to start. You know, we have to allow God to change those things, and we need to. I believe it's sort of like you know, if we want to run a race, we have to exercise. We have to spend a lot of time focusing on getting ourselves in shape. And once when we have ourselves in shape and we're ready to race, you know, if we say it's like, well, I'm there, I've arrived. But we stop. We say, you know, I've got what it takes, I'm all set. And we stop exercising. And then one day, whoever's in charge of this race that's coming up is going to say, today we're running the race. And we're like, yeah, I'm good to go. That's what we think. And we start running and we quickly realize that I don't have it. I don't have what it takes to see me through. And I believe that what Romans 2 here is talking about, you know, we need to not to grow lax. We need to be diligent about these things and continually allow God to change, to draw our minds towards Himself in transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, it's something that is constantly, He is constantly doing in us. So, you know, when that time comes that I don't have a trigger point that sets me off, and I know how to walk through those things, and I don't allow my anger or my jealousy or whatever the things are that we tend to deal with, we have control of those things. And in those times, I show the people around me who Jesus is, how he would respond, and how he wants me to respond. And if we if we're prepared people, we can find ourselves doing those things more and more. You know, if we are this kind of people, we're able to think through our problems rather than just what is our human tendency when we come up against something that we had bad experiences in. You know, surely, probably most of us here, all of us, I would say, have experienced something that we consider as not a good experience. And our human tendency is, I believe, at least when I gauge myself, is, you know, when I come up against these things, I find myself reacting. You know, it seems like when I observe those kinds of actions, that they don't seem very spirit-filled. It looks like a human effort of dealing with something. And that's what I see in myself when I do that. You know, I'm not able to think through problems. And God wants to change that in us. He wants us to be able to stop and to see and to analyze these things, and not to have those things become trigger points, but rather that we can see them for what they are and speak truth into them and allow God to minister to both us and to the people around us. Number four, taking our disabling thoughts captive. You know, thoughts that terrify us or thoughts that you know, I think of Joseph's brothers there, you know, when they were reminded of their past, you know, they were fearful. And the only thing they could think of is like they were being punished. You know, when we come to that understanding of when we experience that, you know, there is a way out. And that way out is confession. You know, dealing with bringing those, you know, allowing change into my life and bringing, sharing the things that I'm dealing with and giving them to Jesus and showing the people around me that I am changing. Number five, choose to focus your thoughts on the right things. We turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needest not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Seems like we heard that parts of that verse earlier today. You know, choosing to focus our thoughts on the right things and studying, you know, to show thyself approved. Not needing to be ashamed. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, tells us in this verse here, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the things that God is calling us to think on. And when we follow through with that, God gives us peace. You know, when we focus on the things that are true and allow God's, what God wants us to be focusing on, and we allow that to come into our thoughts and to push out of our thoughts, you know, out of our minds, you know, we experience peace. This kind of life is possible, and it is what God wants, you know. It's not something that we're probably going to attain of ourselves. And if we only exercise in these areas, you know, momentarily, when maybe sometimes how I do with physical exercise, like I'm going to get more exercise. I'm going to do it. And, you know, I do it for a little bit here, a little bit there. And then Yeah, it's hard work. You know, these things, if we have that approach, thinking about, you know, our these things, and we just do them haphazardly, you know, our human flesh will crowd in, and our self pride will push out and say, you know, think about the things that are not true and not fair, and it will bring it will not bring lasting peace. And so God wants us to live our lives, you know, taking them captive and taking these thoughts captive, and not letting them have their way. If we want to be an effective Christian, you know, that life, not only the words that come out of my life, but my example, you know, my everyday dealings, my expressions, my all, you know, shows Jesus, we must exercise ourselves in these things. And we, you know, God wants to deal with my trigger points. He wants to deal with your trigger points. And he doesn't want us to be reacting when certain things come up, when certain, you know, when we're handled a certain way, or someone says a certain thing, or we're reminded of something from our past, or we're reminded of somebody that we know. You know, God doesn't want us, he wants to refine us to the point that we're not reacting. Because I think we would probably all agree that when we find ourselves reacting to situations, that it doesn't do a very good job of showing Jesus. And so let's allow the Lord to deal with us as we need to be dealt with, and pray that God would help us work through those things, that those trigger points in our lives could that we could have the strengths and the insight of dealing with them, and that we could find total freedom in Jesus, and be free. In closing, just a verse in John chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son set you free, you are free indeed. And just like for us to hang on to that verse and, you know, claim it. And in, you know, as we can claim that verse as a promise. And when God, you know, I think of Joseph there and his brothers and the deed that they had done to him. You know, God brought them there. And yes, God used his brothers to accomplish what he wanted, what needed to be accomplished. But God also brought them to a place where they could see what they had done and gave them opportunity to repent, gave them opportunity to find freedom in that. And I thank God for that. In my life, you know, and he still does that. You know, it's like, oh yeah, that was definitely me, you know, responding there. And it reminds us of something. And, you know, when that happens, I believe that's God working in our lives. And we have an opportunity. Do we take it and say, Lord, help me, teach me? You know, I want to get to the root of this thing and deal with it and be free from those things. And that's the Lord working in our lives. You know, now when we're in that state, we have an opportunity to accept it and to take it and to apply it to my own life. May the Lord bless.